Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, wonderful God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, you may be seated. I do want to start early tonight because there's certain things that I do want to point out, and we may have revelation. We must understand that that is Him revealed in us. And in this hour, we need that above all things. And we need to know His mighty power. And that we may know that it fills our soul, the power of Almighty Yahweh. It is important. For there are many deceivers that have gone out. Many. And they are drawing the hearts of the people away from the truth of Almighty Yahweh. Men today, they love traditions and things of that nature, and that supersede the truth. And what has happened in our lives, we have, in the varnishing of our old traditions, they've been varnished over. And the next layer of varnish comes upon that, and the next layer. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves, as you strip off one layer, you still do not get to the beauty of what's in the inward parts. So it's a constant stripping and tearing off until you get to the beauty of the grain of the natural wood. And once you see that, then you can see the beautiful contours and the aspects of that wood that you've never seen. And that is what the Father is going to have to do in this hour. As old Brother Kurt Higby preached that message at the gathering, he's going to strip us and make us bare. So he must strip off all that old varnish. There's such an enormous amount of that upon the hearts and the lives of the people of Yahweh. And so when he speaks the truth to us, it's difficult for us to understand. I do want to read an article tonight by David Wilkinson. He is the pastor of the Times Square Church in New York City, right there on Times Square. I received this article from someone. It is a very interesting article on what he states in the article. I will read it exactly, quote, as David Wilkinson wrote it. And he wrote this article September the 1st, 2003. Now, I will make some quotes as I go along or show you in Scripture. And things that the man said, they are very pertinent because they are real today. And I want to read this article, and as I said, as I go along, I will show you what Scripture says. It's one thing that we must do. We must search the Scripture. I talked to a sister on Sunday, and she said, Pastor Roberts, as I hear the broadcast, and as I receive the tapes or the cassettes that you send to me, the letters, she says, one thing that I have begun to do that I haven't done over all the years, I began to search the Scriptures. She said, because I generally took things to be truth when I would hear a man say something, and that's the way it ought to be. And if that was the case, we would not have such a diversity that we have today of all kinds of doctrines, all kinds of deception today. And Satan is using anything and anyone that he can advance his cause to come against the very kingdom authority of Almighty Yahweh. He has a name, and it's not Lord, and it's not God. He has a name. That's why I find the article of David Wilkinson. I receive periodically articles from him via Dan Catlin. I simply delete them, but as I received this one, I did not even know what it said. I simply began to read the article that David Wilkinson, as he sent out, as he spoke unto the people. It's very short. And I want to read that to the house of Yahweh, his people, that we may get a clarity in our minds and our souls. You're going to need that today. Above all things, you're going to need a clarity. There must be an assurance down in your soul. Whether he's alive and real, or whether he is just a mystical form of some ritual worship, or that he is real unto you, And you will know it is real because there is a heart above all things desiring to do what he commands and tells us to do. We will press toward that mark that we may walk in the excellence of his spirit and his anointing. Has nothing to do with you or me. Has nothing to do with your personality or mind. It all has to do with him. That he is glorified. And that his excellence is made known in the earth. He wants that as he did upon Pharaoh. One thing. Upon that man. He got honor and glory upon his name. And he's going to do it again in this hour. He is. He is. As he did in the beginning. So shall it be in the end of this hour. Before I began reading this article, I want to quote a scripture from Psalms 9 and 10. It says, "And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Yahweh, hast not forsaken them that seek thee." They that know his name, they will put their trust in him. Men today, they're putting their trust in everything. They put their trust in men, their own personage, their own personality. There must be a name that he intends for us to put our trust in. For there are many gods, and there are many lords, but there is only one Yahweh. But he has a name that is above all names. No other name equates and has the equalness of his name. He has a name that is great. And he intends for it to be great that a man will use it to his glory. To acknowledge him in all things. And everything that he does in that name will give honor unto the Father. I want to begin this article what David Wilkinson said. He is the pastor. He calls himself Reverend David Wilkinson. And he is what they call the pastor of Times Square Church. Right there on Times Square in the city of New York. He has a Sunday attendance of minimum 8,000 people. They come from every part of the world, all over the United States of America, to come and to sit under the tutelage of David Wilkinson. He's a very renowned man as far as his credibility, what he says, what he speaks. Many words of prophecy of the doom of America and what things that are going to literally overcome and overcharge this nation. He says, quotes, David Wilkinson, September the 1st, 2003. "I am not a Jeremiah, but a number of years I have acted as a watchman on the wall, warning of the impending judgments, yet I have preached that God's judgments are always redemptive. He is a living God who must at times redeem and correct a sinful people through chastening. Recently, I have preached that God is about to do something new and glorious." Now, this is the quote of David Wilkinson. He said that he has always corrected his people through chastisement or chastening. Now, I will use the literal wordings of this article. Now, I will quote or go back and make statements on what he says. Now, look at what he says. Quote, God is about to do something new and glorious. This new thing is beyond revival, beyond an awakening. It is a work of God that he alone initiates when he can no longer endure the polluting of his holy name. There comes a time when God determines that His Word has been trampled into the mire and abominations have so defiled what is called the, quote, church, unquote, quote, He must rise up and defend His name before a lost world. For His own name's sake, God is going to do two mighty works. First, He is going to purge the nation and His church with awesome redemptive judgment. He is going to stop invasion into His house by homosexuals and charlatans. And He is going to purify and cleanse the ministry and raise up shepherds after His own heart. Secondly, God is going to glorify His holy name with a great intervention of mercy. In the thrones of judgment being fulfilled, God is going to save the day by a supernatural turning of a remnant back to Himself. What He did for Israel when they were judged, He will do it again in the days ahead. You can read it all in Ezekiel 36, verse 21 through 38. Sum up, this is what is prophesied. I will have pity for my holy name, which has been profaned amongst the heathens. Not for your sake, but for my own name's sake. The heathen shall know that I am God. I will sprinkle clean water upon you. You shall be clean of all filthiness. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. I will cause you to walk in my ways. I will save you from all your uncleanliness. Not for your sake do I do this, but for my own name's sake. Also, see Ezekiel 20, verses 22, verse 44. For God's people, glorious days are ahead. Do not fret. God's holy name and His pure word will be vindicated. Something greater than revival is coming. God says, I will do a new thing. It has to do with restoring the glory of His name. The glory that is in Christ the Lord. Now what a profound article. If David had actually gone to Scripture and see what Scripture says concerning the restitution and the glory of His name. Now, He did not give us a name in the whole article. He gave us three titles, Lord, Christ, and God. Those are the titles that David Wilkinson exposed here in this article. But what an article! Because He deals with that name, and that the Father certainly has a name. And it's not God. And it's not Lord. And it's not Christ. It is Yahweh. And Messiah. The glory of that name was revealed in Him. Now I want to read some scriptures. And I want to comment on what Brother Wilkinson said. It says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 and verse 10. Wherefore, verse 9 of Philippians chapter 2, wherefore Yahweh also hath highly exalted him, exalted one, and given him a name which is above every name. There is only one name that is above every name. Above every name of the heathen gods and the heathen deities. And that is the name of Yahweh. For it is a name that is sanctified. It is a glorious name. It is a name that is set apart from all other names. And so he said, this one will have a name that is far above, or his name which is above every name. And he said that at the name of Yahshua, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue shall confess that Yahshua is Messiah for one purpose, to the glory of Yahweh the Father. That is the expression of Messiah. That we understand the purpose of this redemptive power that he has set forth in the earth. That in that name is the name and the presence of Almighty Yahweh. For John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yahweh, and the Word was. And then it says, and the Word was made. And the Word was made flesh. I know that our theology and our theologians and our spiritual leaders have not led us to the understanding of that simple truth. It said that the Word was made. And when something is made, it must be prepared. It must be formed as Yahweh made man. He breathed the breath into him, and he became a living soul. And the Word was made flesh, and it dwelt among men, that we may see the glory and the extreme power of Almighty Yahweh. And so in that name, which is above every name, no other name like that name. That is why men despise it today. They reject it, they mock it, they sneer at it, for that is a name that is like no other name. And the Father has a name. And as David Wilkerson said, he is going to glorify his name. Tell me then, what name shall he glorify? What name is above? And the most excellent name, what name is that name? That brings about this revelation. There is not much revelation in the earth today. There is no profound utterance of truth that is being proclaimed. Men go on their speculations, their dreams, their emotions and their feelings. But it's not a revealed truth from the Father, as Yahweh did with Moses, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Obadiah. As he revealed unto them the profound actions that he would take place in the earth, or that would be administered by his power, by the spoken words of the prophets. And yet there are many that declare that they are prophets today. Men that say that they are apostles. And yet there is no profound utterance of speech with any kind of dynamics that is coming from the throne of Almighty Yahweh. For they reject him, his person. The Word was made flesh. That is what the scripture says. It was made. And Messiah was made in the very image of Almighty Yahweh. He was made to come down and to administer the government and the laws of the Father. That's what he came for. Now our doctrines haven't taught us that. Our doctrines have taught us to varnish over that, even though we don't understand, we don't know. Wisdom is the principal thing, my friends. But in all our getting, we need to get understanding. If a man understands calculus, he cannot start at calculus to understand calculus. He must start with the basic rudiments of math. He must understand fractions and division and multiplication. And then he proceeds to that point where he understands the dynamics of calculus. He cannot just simply jump in and begin to understand calculus. So there's a process to understand that. And so it is in this hour. Mr. Wilkinson is not wrong. He is going to glorify his name. And there shall be a glory put upon his name, not for our sake, but for his sake, that his name is the excellent name in the earth, and that every tongue is going to confess that name. They're going to call upon it. They're going to know that he is the mighty Lamb, and there's no other one like him. Now the scripture says in 1 John chapter 5, I want to lay a little foundation here. 1 John chapter 5, and I will quote on this article of David Wilkerson. Look what he says, and the first epistle of John, chapter 5. You must read it with understanding. It says in verse 10, listen to it, read it and hear it. He that believeth on the Son of Yahweh, simply believeth, have the witness, the testimony, the truth in himself. He that believeth not Yahweh, that's what it says. In the King James rendition, it will say, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar. And Yahweh hath sent the Son to witness of his mighty name and the glory of his name. So we do not believe, he that believeth not Yahweh, have made him a liar. Why? Because he believed not the record that Yahweh gave his Son. And this is the record that Yahweh has given to us. Eternal life, not that who has given unto us eternal life, and that the life is in believing in the works of in the Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of Yahweh hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that ye may believe on the name of the Son of Yahweh, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of Yahweh, that we may know this name, which is above every name. And the only way you're going to believe that and to know that, you must understand purely and truly whom the Son truly is. You must know who the Son is. He did not come in his own name. He did not come to bring another identity of Yahweh. He came in the identity because the Word, Yahweh is the Word, and the Word was made flesh. That's why you have Trinitarians at oneness. There's only one truth. The Messiah is the made word of Yahweh, and in believing in him that we have the life of the Father in us. Every word that he spoke was spirit and life. And that's why there is not much witness today. A man says, quote, I believe in Jesus Christ, unquote. And another man says the same thing. And yet there is no witness of oneness or kinsmanship or brotherhood in neither one of them. Not at all. Because they truly do not believe at. When a man believes at, there is a contraction of faith in a man's soul. And there's a light that shines forth with a brilliancy and an excellency in a man, and that is the knowledge of whom Yahweh is in the face of his Son, Yeshua, Messiah, and a man knows whom the Father truly is. And so we have come this course of time, yet we call upon, quote, God, unquote, and we've never truly known him. we use that generic term that every religion uses. Oh, I know him, and yet we've continued in the things that he told us not to continue in. Our sins, our wickedness, our rebelliousness, our corruption. When a man does that, it is because there is unbelief there. And that is why you always destroy Israel, because they did not believe his judgments. And he destroyed them by the thousands in the wilderness because his judgment, they had no fear. They did not believe what he said. And the reason we do it, because we don't believe him. Messiah came because he had a perfect purpose in his heart. And that was to do the will of the Father and to finish it. Did he sin? He did not sin. For the Word was made flesh. The Word was made flesh. Yahweh made man, and he put the breath of life into man, the living soul. And yet he has poured out unto us the measure of his anointing, the Holy Spirit, that he dwells in man. Is he a partaker of a man's sin? Can we say we're in him and we continue in sin without any thought or any regret or any impurity of judgment upon us? The reason we continue in sin, because there is no judgment. And when there is no judgment in the land, and the folks fall unto anarchy, and they sin willfully without thought of judgment of what things are going to come to pass because of their sins. And so there is no fear of the Father. There's no regard to him. And we don't even consider Messiah, even quote the name Jesus. You don't even consider that. Yahweh was revealing the light and the glorious purpose of Messiah. That's why he made that word flesh. He made the word flesh and he came alive. And it had the breath of Yahweh in that word because he is the Word. And he was the Word. And he does not change one bit at all. He is the same. And he was the same in Messiah. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yahweh, and the Word was Yahweh. The same was in the beginning with Yahweh. And it says, all things were made by him, and without him was nothing, not anything made that was made. In him. It says in Yahweh, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. That's what it said. In him was life. And the light shined into darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. Verse 14 of the same chapter. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory. And glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It said that the Word was made. And Yahweh made man. And he breathed into him and he became a living soul. And the Word was made. And Yahweh in him is life. And that life is the power of the truth of his Word revealed unto man. And he made that Word flesh. He made the Word flesh, and it came and dwelt upon the earth, and we beheld the glory of him. For the Word is him. And in the Word we beheld the glory of him. In the Word of that flesh of Messiah, we beheld his glory. And in that body of flesh was the glory and the fullness of the Father. In that body was Yahweh's glory, his personage in that body, for the Word was made flesh. And he sent that to us to behold that, to behold his glory. He wants us to behold his glory. He is life, and in him is life, because he is the Word. And because the Word was made flesh in that Word, because we believe on the name of the Son, because we believe on that, we believe that the life is the Father. And because we believe that, we know that that is of the Father, because that is the Father, because that is one with the Father. And we beheld his glory, and the person of the Father, and the glory of that manifested word, Yeshua, the hope, the anointed one of Yah, to bring about his glorious plan for us all, that we may know him, that we may know him, that we may know his power, his might, his glory, that we may know it. Our traditions and our church attitude has varnished us. We've learned this from this place, and that's been varnished over. Then we go to that place and learn something that's been varnished over. And in this hour, they began to strip us that there may be a pure worship unto him. And that there may be a sincere heart, not one of hypocrisy, not one of falseness, that a man may truly know the truth. And that truth makes him free from everything that the flesh opposes the Father. And we're not free from those things. We're not free to do his will. We're not free to truly serve him. We're not free from our flesh. We're not free from our own natural minds and our own carnal hearts. We follow those things. We give into sin. We pursue those things. They're not spiritual. They're natural things. And they never produce anything at all. It was the word that was made flesh. Now, it's either that the King James rendition is right or it's wrong. It's either that the word was not made flesh or it wasn't made flesh. This word says it was made flesh. You can look that up in your dictionary, your concordance, and you will see what that says. He made man. He formed him from the dust of the earth. He made man and he made female. And he made that word was made by Almighty Yahweh flesh. He made it flesh. He made the word flesh. And it came and dwelt upon us that we may be inspired to his glory and to see his personness and the presence of Almighty Yahweh. He cannot just be some form of a God or a Lord, but he has to have an identity that we can know it with certainty. Can be no falsehood to that. Must be real. That's why we haven't truly known him. We've known him in certain religious ways and religious contexts. We haven't known him. But a man truly knows him. He's free from sin. And this is a generation that's not free from sin. It's not free from murmuring and complaining and lies and deceit. It's not free from that. Whom the Son makes free, the man is free. If a man continue in his word, only then will you know the truth. Have we been a people, this nation, or a people that truly continues in his word? We hear that and we walk in that. That is our strength and that is the resource of our lives to walk in that. If a man continue in his word, only then will he know the truth. And then that truth makes the man free. And whom Yeshua makes free, he makes him. Whom he makes free, not set, but he makes. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing. Renew. To renew, the renewing of your mind. And there must be a renewed mind in us today. It has to be a mind that is spiritual and not natural and carnal. But it has to be the mind of Messiah, Yeshua. And that's why the Father made it flesh, to show us that we can have that mind. And we must have that mind. And what was that mind? To do the will of the Father. To finish the will of the Father. Please not himself, but please the Father. The scripture says Messiah pleased not himself. He did not seek any form to please himself. Is this a generation we that say that we possess the same spirit? Do we strive to please ourselves? Or do we strive to please him? He did not even please himself. He had a source of strength that would give him power to oppose the workings of darkness. That was to do the will of Yahweh and to finish it. Now we're in a place whereby we must finish what we have started. We must go on into perfection. We must go on into the light of perfection. And the only way we're going to do that is we must know his truth. We must know it. We must understand the importance of Yahweh's truth. And this generation truly doesn't understand that. It understands religion. It does. But it doesn't understand the truth. Now, I want to go back to this article of David Wilkinson. He says, quote, "Yet I have preached that God's judgments are always redemptive. He is a loving God who must at times redeem and correct a sinful people through chastening, that he must chastise us. The scripture tells us, behold, happy is the man whom Yahweh correcteth." When a man Yahweh corrects that man, he is a happy man. He rejoices and he delights in that correction, for he knows that that is his discipline. It brings him to the place where the Father can truly speak to him. And that is what the Father wants. He has always wanted that, to speak to his house and to speak to his sons. He sent Messiah to be the intermediary. He was the propitiation, the price. He sits at the right hand of the Father, making proposition for us. He has always wanted to speak to his house. He showed us that with Adam and Eve, as he went down in the garden, he spoke unto them. Now, what separated them from him? Their sin, rebel, their sin against him. Now, why is he not speaking to us in the fashion that he should? Because of sin, repentance. And it is a cliche today. It is not given the attention that it should be given. And so men think that they can do what they want to, but their own determination, and they think that they are not sinning against the Father. A man that knows to do good, he knows what to do is right and is good to do it. And if he doesn't do it, it's a sin. It is a transgression unto the Father. So when Yahweh corrects a man, that man is a happy man. Therefore, Job said, therefore despise not the chastening of Almighty Yahweh. Well, how is he chastening us today? Well, he does it by his word of truth. He speaks directly and individually to us all. He shows us the purpose of our hearts. He shows us the intent and the desire. He shows us the motive. He shows us the sin and the corruption, the canker that is dwelling in us. And what we do, we begin to despise that. We say, not for me. When Yahweh corrects a man, that man shows the gladness. His heart is full, filled with the blessing of Yahweh. He's full. He's full of comfort and security. Then today they will rail against you. They will despise the chastening of Yahweh. Well, is he going to come down from heaven and chasten you? You will curse him. You will mock him. He came in the power of Messiah. And men today reject that. They are their own Christ. Christo. They're not walking under that anointed power of Messiah. The anointed Yah. They're not walking under that. They're walking under their own spirit. They have their own demeanor. It is not the character of the Father. For the scriptures tells us in Galatians, the fruit of Almighty Yahweh. So they're not walking under that. And they're certainly not walking under this counsel at all. So when Yahweh began to correct the man, he's a man that is happy. He's a man that rejoiced in that. We, the sons of Yahweh, ought not to despise the chastening of Yahweh. If we are sons, and we're truly sons, we ought not to despise his correction. Neither should we be weary in his correction. We should not despise the chastening of Yahweh. Admit that they are very weary when he corrects them. When you hear a word of correction, we get very weary. Our minds become so weary and inundated that we cannot stand on the truth at all anymore. So we began to resort to things that do not give us strength. We began to look for familiar spirits that will strengthen us in our proposition against Yahweh. And it never brings about any fullness of a man's heart. It never gives any satisfaction at all. You're not going to find it there. You're only going to find it when he chastens you. Happy is every man whom Yahweh chasteneth. And if he doesn't chasten to you, then you are a bastard. You're not born of his spirit. You're not liberated by his spirit. If he doesn't correct you in preaching and his word of truth, you are a bastard. And a bastard is one that has no father and doesn't know of the identity of his father. Now that is a bastard. And if he doesn't correct us, then that is what we are, truly bastards. The scripture says in Hebrews chapter 12, 7, you know the scripture. It says, if ye endure chastening, then Yahweh dealing with you as a son. For what son is whom the father chasteneth not? What is a son that Yahweh will not correct? What son that a father will not correct? If he is not a son, then the father will not correct him. Well, you see this vile, corrupt behavior on the streets, you that are fathers, you don't correct them. You do not set that in order. You don't set that in order. Now, what son? If we are truly sons of Yahweh, then what son the father will not chasten? He chasteneth. Every son that he receiveth, he chasteneth, and he scourgeth them. And this generation mocked that. They hate it. They rail against it. Well, I don't think Pastor Roberts is right. Tell me, my friend, how right are you in your sins, your vile and evil ways, your corruption? And Pastor Roberts is the man that warns you against that. And yet you go the way of a swine and a dog. You go back to the mire and the filth of the world. And you began to labor in the filth that the mind and the conscience become so seared that Yahweh, the thought of anything pure, is far from the mind. Their televisions and their games of trivial rob them. And that is what is taking place. Saints, I say to you with all honesty, if Yahweh doesn't do something very soon, there are very few that are truly saved. And that's why you better search your own heart and to make sure that you are truly in the faith. And what about is in the faith, he will bless the name of Messiah, for he knows the one that has sent him. And the purpose of him coming was to redeem us, to show us his redemptive power. That's why he sent his begotten. He made him flesh. To show that he is the Redeemer. That in him is life and power. For he put life in that body. He made it flesh. And the life was in that body. Because we acknowledge that that life is in the body. We acknowledge the Father. We see the Father in the glory in the presence of Messiah. And because we see that, then we can glorify the Father. For the Father, that name is in the Son. There's no separation at all. Yahweh is the Word. And the Word was with him in the beginning. And so it was in the beginning of him, which he had no beginning, nor does he have an end. And so Messiah, in that fleshly body, it had an end. It came to an end because it went down into the earth. He died. And it was by the Father that quickened him and made him alive to give us a resurrection hope. To give us a hope that he, as he quickened the Son, sure he did. Yahweh quickened him, and he became alive, and he rose with all power in his hand. And he's given that unto us, sons, those that walk in faith, that we have the power to oppose every workings of darkness, every spirit. Today, you're going to hell by the billions. The minds, as I said to the brethren today, we must not forget that Satan was the most subtle creature in the garden. And he is still today, my friends. And he talks. He walks among you. He speaks to your ears. He speaks to your flesh. He soothes you and he speaks grander things unto you. And he causes you to listen to what he says. When you listen to him, you cannot hear the words of faith. And without faith, you can't please the Father. It takes that to please him. And we must have faith. David Wilkerson said that the people, he's going to chasten them. There should be a correction and a discipline upon them. I concur with that wholeheartedly. I concur with the whole article, his phraseology and things that he said are wrong, but I concur with the article. He says, recently, quote, recently I've been preaching that God is about to do something new and glorious. And the new thing is beyond revival, beyond an awakening. It is a work of God that He alone initiates when He can no longer endure the polluting of His holy name. When He will not allow His name to be polluted. His name cannot be polluted. That is what Israel did. As they were estranged from Yahweh, they began to call on deities and gods of strange, strange characters. And Yahweh would beckon unto them, He would plead unto them, come back to me. I've established my name in my tabernacle. And I believe His name was in the tabernacle. And they began to incorporate all kinds of names. Tophat, Molech, and Molcham. And David Wilkerson said he's not going to allow his name to be corrupted. No, he isn't. That's why in this hour he's going to reveal the significance of his name. And don't tell me the name has no importance. I began to do a research yesterday or the day before, and I began to look at whose name, just that word, whose name. And you can search every scripture in this book. And every place where it says, whose name is this, whose name is Job, whose name is this, whose name is that, whose name is Belshazzar. It gives an identity. When it comes to Yahweh, whose name is Lord God? No. Whose name is Yahweh? He has a name. It is a glorious name. And I will stand on it. I will speak to the glory of that name. I won't be ashamed. I won't be offended. I don't care what men think. What about those that have died in Jesus' name? Or that? Let me ask you this. If a man broke any of these commandments, did he sin, didn't he? Well, what about those that died did not keep the Shabbat? What about that? What about those that died doing things that were estranged from the Father? When a man comes to the knowledge of the truth, he is responsible for that. That's why he reveals it to him. You can rest on your loyals and traditions. It doesn't mean a nigger with a hog meat. Not at all. He spoke unto them. He gave them a new and a living way. He gave them a living word. And that way he wanted them to walk in that new and a living way. And Messiah is that new and living way for us today. He is. He is example. That's why we must consider him. We must consider all the things that he endured unless we get weary in our minds. And that is my strength today. I consider what he went through. I consider the apostles and the prophets and the men of old. And those that wandered about in deserts and dens having no certain dwelling place. Why? Because they waited on the promise of Almighty Yahweh. Many forsook them. They lied. They came against him. Paul said, at my first answering, no man stood with me. For all men have forsaken me. But he stood on the strength of the assurance of the word that was spoken. For he shall suffer many things for my name's sake, Paul. He shall stand before the Gentiles and kings of the earth. But he's going to suffer for my name's sake. And if we are truly saints, we're going to suffer. Sure we are. He will no longer endure the polluting of his holy name, unquote. I want to read the scripture in Jeremiah. It says in chapter 7, Jeremiah chapter 7. Verses 29 through 34. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 29. It says, cut off thine hair, O Jerusalem, and cast it away, and take up a lamentation on high places, for Yahweh hath rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. He has rejected that generation. He has forsaken that generation. And this is the generation of his wrath. He has rejected it. The offerings are not satisfactory to him. The gifts of love are what are spirit today. They say they love you. And they will assassinate you. They say they love you. And they will try to destroy you. They say they love you. And they will speak evil against you. That's love. For me to say that I love my wife. And to call her all kinds of ill repute names. Is that love? For me to say that I love her and treat her falsely wrong. Is that love? For me to say that I love the saints and to abuse them and to do things that are not right to them. Is that love? And the same with you, my friends. To say that you love and there is faintness to your love. There's a regard and a respect. You must understand, Elder Martin came by to see me tonight. He did not know what I was going to say. But even what I'm saying now, the elderly man began to speak on with that kind of consenting voice. The heart of the people today, what they love, what they truly care for. The things that are more important to them. It is not what he always says. That's what he said to me. It's not what he says. But he said this, he assured my heart. But what he said is still right. What he said is not wrong. It makes no difference what they are saying and what they are doing. What the Father says is still right. They may go this way. They may go that way. They may lay hold to that. They may incorporate that in their lives. But what the Father said is still right. He says not wrong. And that is our strength, what he said. That is our power of endurance, what he has said. And what he has said is truth. He's not going to change it. For not one of us, for you or me, is settled in the kingdom. He said, for the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith Yahweh. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it. Now, what name was the house called by that they would set their abominations there to pollute his name or to pollute his house? For his house is his name, for his name was represented in his house. That's why he built the house that his name may be glorified in the house. Now, what name was glorified in the house? Was it some generic name, or was it a name Yah, or was it God or Lord? What name was glorified in the house? Did he sit a sign or a signet over the house that said, Lord? I believe his name was in the house, Yahweh. He said, they have, which have called by my name to pollute it, and they have built high places of Tophat, which is in the valley of the sons of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that it shall no more be called Tophat, or the valley of the sons of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter, for they shall bury in Tophat, till there be no place, and the carcasses of this people shall be meat for the fowls of the heaven, and for the beasts of the earth, and none shall fray them away. Then will I cause to cease from the city of Judah, and from the streets of Jerusalem, the voice of mirth, and the voice of gladness, and the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate. Why? Because they have polluted my name, and they have ostracized my name. They have made it a pagan form. They have associated with pagans and pagan rituals and pagan worship. He said, I'm going to destroy them. This generation of my wrath. He said, I'm going to pour it out without a measure. And that's what he's about to do, my friends. Whether we believe that or not. That is why Satan is drawing the minds of many today. Their minds are totally given over to the powers of darkness. And he allows, he gives them nothing but trinkets to destroy any integrity. And that's all he's doing today, a pleasure of the flesh. A feel, an emotion for a moment. But it brings about no strength at all. It's just a simple pleasure, a feel. It's a simple joy that is so false, it's not steeped in reality at all. No one said, there's only one reality, that Almighty Yahweh is coming. And he's coming to redeem a people out of the earth. And they're going to be a holy people without sin, spot, or blemish, or anything at all. He's coming for that. That's the reality of this hour. And their Pharisees are taking them away from anything like that. Their movies, their television, their thoughts, and their music are drawing them into a dark place of delusion, of false realities. No truth steeped in it. It's all vanity. It's a lying tongue. It's a lying thing. Is that anything of truth? That was ever. And Satan has royally paid those men to do those things with their lying tongues and their pens. Look at chapter 8 of Jeremiah, verse 8. Look at what it says. How do you say we are wise and the law of Yahweh is with us? How do you say that? You say his law is with you? Lo, certainly in vain made he it. So they said the law of Yahweh is vain. He made the law. It's deceit. You know what vain is? It's deceit. It's lies. It's corruption. The pen of the scribes is in vain. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of Yahweh and what wisdom is in them. When a man rejects that, tell me what wisdom is in him. When a man rejects the word of Yahweh, what wisdom is in that man? There's no wisdom in him. He said, they say they're wise, and yet they're not wise because they rejected the words. They rejected his correction. They rejected his chastening. They were not of his reproof. They were not of his counsel. But he said unto them, death is going to come upon you. And he means what he says. This is a foolish generation. And it's one whereby the wrath of Yahweh is going to be poured out. I believe we're going to see it not in the long distant future. I believe it's upon us. It is so vile, so corrupt. The children are wicked. The children are corrupt. They're being birthed with vile, unclean spirits. I say to all you parents that are about to birth your children, you better begin to search your wicked hearts. You have begun to go down into the inward parts of your soul. That spirit of pride, your sins, your corruption, your corrupt ways, you better make sure that your heart is right. You daddies better search your hearts. It's not a thing of plague. It's a real deal today. It is not something false. You open them up to the powers of hell, to the dark spirits of darkness, because of your rebellion and your sins. You rebel against the law, the word of Yahweh. For rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is idolatry and iniquity. You allow that spirit to overcome you. I warn you, mothers, for your own good. And you, fathers, for your own safety. If there's ever time for you all to pray, it is in this hour. Is there ever time for Brother Dolphus and Sister Lee Miller to be on their knees? It is now. Is there ever time for Sister Celeste and Brother Dale to fall prostrate? It is now. Woe unto them, you, my brother and sister. That when they bring forth a child by your sanctification, and the child shall be sanctified and shall be holy. And that's the truth. It's every time to pray, this is the hour. It's every time to be for real, this is the hour. It's every time to forsake everything for the glory of the kingdom. This is the hour. Nothing else. Forsake husband, wife, children, son, daughter, mother. You forsake it all. For his name's sake, for the glory of his name. That is what we must do, saints. This is real, this hour. They are taking the children today and destroying their minds. The parents are giving them over unto the world to teach them Yahweh's disciplines. It is truth. They're putting them in these houses of condemnation. That's what they're doing. They're setting them before pedophiles and fridges and the schoolhouses and their dens of sin. And they're teaching them wickedness and corruption, rebellion against the father. And they rebel against their parents. Reject the laws of their homes. Yahweh never intended for you to give your child to a perverted thing. And for them to teach them the disciplines and the corruptions of Yahweh. He never intended it. Never did he intend that. He intended for you parents to teach them and to bring them up in the setting whereby their brethren that understand the law of righteousness. That's what he intended. And they will trust them with this world. Whether they will a true man of Yahweh. They will trust them. They will give their sons and daughters over unto that. They will give themselves and their wives over unto that. And they say they love one another. They say, no. Nah. For Yahweh so loved the world. And in that body was truth. And that's what he gives to us, truth. He speaks to us truth. And he tells us truth. He shows us our sins and our wickedness. No,
You don't look to your neighbor to the right or to the left. You look within your own hearts. You will find enough there. You will see enough there. You can identify enough in you that you don't have to worry about me. And I don't have to worry about you. And so he brings us together collectively that he can speak unto this heart that is deceitful and desperately wicked and mad. And that's why we come together, that he may speak unto us. Because if we are in that body, we are one in him. There's no diversity, just one. There's no Jew or Greek, no black or white, no man. It's just one in him. That is what it is. Oh, I believe what David Wilkerson said. He's going to raise up pastors and not charlatans. Only to his people. Because he said they will trample that. Give that not which is holy unto the dogs. Neither cast your pearls before the swines. Lest they trample. That's what they're doing. They trample them under their feet. And then they rent. They turn and rend you. Then they tear you to pieces. They try to rip your soul out your heart. They try to tear you down. They're pigs. That's the truth. They try to rip you apart. They try to tear you down. I can understand the perplexity that Messiah had when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. But he was not in despair. Whereby he had no faith to believe the Father and to trust him in that endeavor. I'm perplexed but not in despair. I get perplexed, but not whereby my mind I deny the faith. Whereby I resist the law of his faith, and I walk in the comfort of his faith. I believe what he says. I know it's the truth. And I know that is my correction. And that truth, in his truth, is nothing but judgment. Everything he says is judgment. Our concentration has been on the brother or the sister. I'm telling you, my friend, you better say, you better keep yourself from your worldly logics, from your worldly ideas, from your worldly mind, from your worldly heart. You better keep yourself from that. Don't tell me your heart doesn't think on those things. You're given over to that. Your thought is being occupied by that. You better save yourself from that. You have enough to contend with. You better save yourself from that, from the drawing of this world. And it is drawing, and it's drawing, it's a very subtle spirit. And it's drawing about the millions every day into the cesspool of darkness. We're going to have to know in this hour. And the only way we're going to know is we must continue in the Word. We must be like the Bereans. We must have a readiness of mind and open heart. And then after we hear, we must search the Scriptures and see if the things be in the Scripture. Glory. Ezekiel chapter 39. It's an amazing word here in this book, Ezekiel chapter 39, mega. Ezekiel 39, verse 6 and 7. I'm not going to read all of it. I want to read two verses here. Verse 5 through verse 7. He said, thou shalt fall upon the open field, for I have spoken it, saith Yahweh. And I will send a fire on Magog, and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles. And they shall know that I am Yahweh. So will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people, Israel. Now what name is he going to make known? If he's going to reveal that he's going to make his holy name, his name is not going to be polluted. What name is he going to make known? There must be a name that he's going to make known. When something is made known, there's an understanding of that name. If I go to introduce myself to a man or a woman, I must make known my name. My name is David Robert, David Roberts. So he said, I'm going to make known my name. He's talking about in the midst of this destruction of this prophecy on Gog and Magog. If you actually look at that word Magog, he says, it actually means, saints, as I looked that up today, it actually means the land of Yahweh. The land of God, what it says, but the land of Yahweh. He said, I'm going to make known my judgment. Now, we call this the land of Almighty Yahweh, the land of plenty, the land of blessings, the land of prosperity. I know what prophecy and what men say that these nations are. Tubal and Magog. I know the general theological approach to that. Understand that. There was one thing that the prophets, if you read scripture, they did not predicate things on what they had done. They predicated on upon the sin. Yahweh spoke to them about the sins of the people, and he spoke judgment upon them. And so men today are looking for certain events to say, I told you. No, he told me. And we have revelation. He is telling us. And the truth must come from the Father. All they say that they're prophets, they're not prophets. All they say they're brothers are not brethren. All they say that they're sisters are not sisters. Amen. He says, so will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people, Israel. And I will not let them pollute my holy name anymore. Now what name? It has to be a name that they cannot pollute. Is it Lord God? He has to have a name. He said, and I will, that's what David Wilkerson said. Quotes. He said, it is a work of God that he alone initiates when he no longer can endure the polluting of his holy name. And so Yahweh said, I'm not going to allow them to pollute my holy name anymore. And the heathen shall know that I am Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel. He said, even the fools are going to know who I am. Because I'm not going to allow them to pollute my name. And because many day I polluted his name, the heathens don't even know him. He said, I will make the heathens know who I am. That I'm Yahweh of Israel. That's what he said. And the heathens don't know him today. Fools, they don't. And the regards for anything that is holy. Why? Because the people that say they love him, their lives are so up and down. Life of lies and falsehood. It's not a genuine love. I said it here yesterday, and Brother Jason and I, we talked about an hour, probably half an hour, I would say. And I said to him, son, I want to tell you something. I said, your father, as far as an intellectual man, he's a man that, as far as intellectual, he doesn't possess that. Not in the sense that you or me. His grammar is not like yours, not like mine. I say, so the mind cannot rely upon some kind of intellectual property, son. He must rely on a spirit that is pure and sincere, and his heart must be real. And that is how he makes judgment, not because of what he sees, how he intellectually discerns that. I say, because if that was the case, a man like him, when a man like that loves you, you know his love. I said, because as far as that, him intellectually, I said, there are things that he knows that I don't know. But as far as intellectual properties and some things, as I know a lot of things that he doesn't know. And so his judgment about me had to be something that was pure. Couldn't be based upon that. It had to be based on something from his soul. Had to be based upon integrity and a realness there, son. I said, so a man like that possesses essentials and qualities that men with intellectual properties never possess. Never have. So he doesn't base things upon the excellency of words or things like that. That's something pure in a man's heart. As you think an old man like that, set in his old ways, cantankerous, that if I was a fourth brother, that he would strengthen my hand. I say, he would not, son. He would not. Neither would Yahweh. He's not going to strengthen their hands. We're going to begin to see the kink and begin to devour them. They have no faith today. I'm telling you, saints, as much as I love every last one of you, they're being given over unto powers of darkness. Satan was a subtle creature. And their minds are being robbed in their spirits. And they have no ability to resist at all. They can't resist it. We better pray while we have time. We better cry out while we have time, I'm telling you. We better do it. He's given us just a moment to cry and pray. And to seek him like never before. Yes. For I believe this, Brother Wilkerson, he is going to make known his name. And it's going to be a glorious name. As I talked to that sister on Sunday, she said, you know, Pastor Robert, he did it in the beginning. And he's doing it in this hour, and it's only to his people. He's going to make known his name. She said, in essence, she resisted me because she believed that I was saved in Jesus' name. You were saved because of the grace of Yahweh. And that grace was manifested in His Word made flesh in Messiah. And we believed that this was the hope of Yahweh. Don't tell me we knew Him in that power when He delivered us. We just had faith to believe. And you really know what you believe. It was because He saved you and He ordained that. He did. He ordained that for us to be saved. We are the called out and the elect of Almighty God. We are the chosen people that He has elected to serve Him and to make known His person and His name in this generation that is vile, is evil, is wicked. It is a very religious generation. There is no religious nation on the face of the earth like this nation. There's more whorehouses, more establishments in this nation like no other nation upon the face of the earth. It is the most vilest, it is the most corrupt, it is the most evil nation, it is the most sexual nation, nor the nation like that. Yet on every corner you got some kind of religious activity. Is it not where the Spirit of Yahweh is? And thus the truth. He has a name that is an excellent name. And the name God is not an excellent name. It's just a title. God, Goddess. That's what it means. God, Goddess. You can say it means Him, but you're a liar. It means just what it says, what the dictionary says. That's exactly what it means. You know, that sister said to me, she said, Pastor Roberts, because she rejected what I said as she listened to me on the radio. She said, my children, we began to study. It's amazing. I wish I had brought the letter to read it to you. She says, we began to study, my two grandchildren. She said, between 1 hour, 2 hours a day. She says, we began to study the scriptures as you admonished us to do. She said, it is so simple to see the truth. It's a simple thing. The entrance of thy word bring light. And it giveth understanding to the simple. That's what it does. Only to the simple. When a man shut his heart, not to receive you always truth. There's no light in him. It doesn't bring any light at all. He says here, quotes, there come a time when God determines that His word has been trampled into the mire, and the abominations have so defiled what is called the, quote, church, unquote. He must rise and defend His name before a lost world. Sure, it has been trampled. Why? Because we have given that which is holy unto dogs. And He tells us not to give that which is holy unto dogs. Neither cast our pearls before swines. The swines. The filthy people. Lest they trample them under their feet and they turn and they rent you. Isaiah 57:20 said, but the wicked are like the troubled sea, when they cannot rest, whose water casts up mire and dirt. He said, that's what the wicked is like. It's just like the troubled sea. And their hearts are nothing but filth and dirt. Filthy. A wicked man is a man that rejects his laws and his truth and his direction. He would not obey that. He would not adhere to that. It's a man that is walking in wickedness. He is going to defend his name. And his name is holy. It's a glorious name. It is. Psalms 86:8. Among the gods, there is none like thee, O sovereign Yahweh. Neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O sovereign Yahweh, and shall glorify thy name. Verse 12, I will praise thee, O sovereign Yahweh, my mighty one, Elohim. With all my heart, I will glorify thy name forever. I will make known thy name and glorify it, or give it the honor that is due unto thy name, Father. I will give that unto thy name. Why? Because Yahweh will. And He is going to defend His name in this world. For what? David says, quote, now he quoted that in parentheses, quote, for His own name's sake.
God is going to do a mighty work. First, He is going to purge the nation and His church with awesome redemptive judgment. He is going to stop the invasion of His house by homosexual, and that is spiritual homosexuality. And that is the Jezebel spirit. That Jezebel spirit, whether it's in a man or woman, draws and allures you away from that foundational truth. It's like Jezebel did Naboth, her husband, the weak, effeminate thing. She drew him away to do that which was unseemly and wicked before Yahweh, because she was wicked. Now she robbed Naboth. She lied. That's what men. That's what a Jezebel spirit would do today. It will lie. It will seek out another spirit just like that. Sure, it will. It will. Against that which is righteous. It will. It will seek out to try to destroy that which is right. You're not going to destroy His name, whether you pronounce it or declare it or announce it. It doesn't make any difference at all. It's simply going to be in the mouth of those that is called. Put that in there. And they're going to know His name. If you think a name is not important, you go out there and do business as Brother James and the brothers do. And they ask him, what is your name? He says, I'm a man. No, he tells them his name, James. They know that he is a man. If you want to use that, okay, I'll use that expression. He is a God. But what is the God's name? If Tophath and Molech and Mocham have names, what is his name? He has to have one. Whose name is Yahweh? Of course, he has to. He has to. There must be. It cannot be Lord God. It has to be. He says, I am Yahweh. And that is my name. He has a name, self-existing one. Glory. He said, Yahweh is going to glorify His name with great intervention of mercy. He's going to glorify His name, James. Like never before, He's going to make His name known in this generation to His people, and the heathen shall know that He is the one.